I am just a busy bee this morning, singing and playing, organizing, preaching, and you know what? I enjoy it. I enjoy it. I love working for the Lord. Oh, you know, wow, this thing is just a little high for me. Hey, I can hide behind the plant. I'll see you Monday night. You know, I just appreciate, you know, every one of you, you know, member or not a member here Sunday morning, it doesn't matter who you are. We just love seeing each and every one of you. Love fellowshipping you. And you know, the greatest thing in the world is just having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I mean, wow. I mean, our names are written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. Wow. What a thought. What an amazing thing that God keeps track of us, even our names. Wow. The scriptures actually says in heaven we'll be known as we're known. I mean, you're going to know me and I'm going to know you. Praise God, and we'll just be healthy together. Praise God. I have a message this morning. If you would, I would like you to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. This isn't probably one of my easier messages for me to try to deliver, even though it's new to me. But this last couple weeks, God just been speaking to me, and I entitled "Listening for the Still Small Voice." And all of us that are been filling the pulpit have been trying to bring you deep, thoughtful messages, and we've really trying to do our very best to help you and bring you along and allow us all to have some growth in the Lord. So let's look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly, a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' A still, small voice." Lord, we just thank you for the reading of the word, and we just thank you, Lord, that we don't have to ask for it to be blessed. It is already blessed. We thank you, Lord, that it's already strong and powerful and pierces even to the dividing of to the soul, and just reaches us in places that we cannot see. We just ask you to help us to receive it, and bless us, Lord, and bless our ears that we might receive, and allow the Holy Spirit to do a wonderful work in each of us. From the pulpit to the door, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You know, first of all, I'd like to say, you know, God is God, and as God is God, he chooses to do things as he wishes. He chooses to speak to us as he wishes. He chooses when to speak to us. And we, as people, just have to be willing and ready to listen. And, you know, sometimes God chooses to speak in a thunderous way. There was I'm sure there's scriptures, one of them in the New Testament says God spoke out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So sometimes God, you know, speaks in thunderous ways, and sometimes there's fireworks, and sometimes there's, you know, it's very evident to all that are standing by. But as I look through the scriptures in its entirety, and sometimes you'll hear me say things like, "What's the principle of God? What is God really trying to do?" I find that God many times and most times speaks to us in a very still, small voice. And sometimes I think we miss it because we're not listening. Because, you know, God, when God begins to speak to us, he's not speaking generally into the outer ear, into our physical, natural ear. And that's what you hear once in a while. You know, there's times God spoke to others audibly. But most of the time, from Genesis to Revelation, you'll see that God speaks to people. And he speaks to them in their spirit. He speaks to them in their soulish realm. And one of the ways that he does this, and he's instilled this into human beings and no other creature, is through the conscience. I used to think conscience was a hard word to spell until I had read one time, well, can you spell science? S-C-I-E-N-C-E. Well, just put C-O-N in front of it. It looks like a strange word, the conscience. But it's easy to spell, and it's inside of each one of us. God has instilled into the human beings a conscience that we can feel the Spirit of God speak to us, and we can begin to feel what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad. And he compels us. God compels us. He moves in our spirit, and he speaks to us that this is okay or this is not okay. And sometimes, if it's not okay, we feel guilty. We're convicted. And this is how God generally speaks to us. He speaks to us through our conscience, and he speaks to us through our spirit, and he speaks to us. But we have to be willing to listen, and we have to be willing to follow that. But lo and behold, as humans and as the day and age we live in 2016, you know, we get so busy. We get so caught up in life. We get so caught up in our work life or our retire life. Or, I mean, all of us have, I'm looking forward to retirement. But all of us, you know, we get so busy. We get so caught up. And we get so busy with our fuss and our mess. And we get so caught up. I think sometimes all of us, and myself included, we begin to forget that God is speaking to us on the inside. We don't realize it. God is speaking to us because we're not listening. It's not coming through. God tries to come through. And then some people say, well, I pray and it seems like nothing happens. Well, when we pray, we have to sometimes say, now, Lord, I am going to be still, and I'm going to listen. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted. You know, have you ever tried to put kids down for a nap? I raised two girls, and I'll tell you, naps just don't always work really well. You know, you try to get them down. You try to say it's time. You know, you need to sleep. They don't know it, or they don't think they do. But by 6 o'clock that night, or 7, you know, they're going to be very tired. Or they're going to be cranky. So you try to put them down. It's just kind of difficult because it's hard for kids to stay still. It's kind of hard for some adults to stay still. But God makes a proclamation to us in our busy life, in our rushing life. He speaks to us in Psalms and he says, be still and know I'm my God. And when we're still and we begin to listen to the voice of the Lord, he said, I will be exalted. Now, how can he be exalted? Because we begin get tuned into that conscience, into that Spirit of God. When he begins to speak to us and he begins to lure us toward him, he said, I will draw you. I will draw you. And you know, he works with every single one of us. And I know I say that a lot, but I'm no different than you, and you're no different than me. God has blessed us with life. He's blessed us with a soul. He's blessed us in our spirit, and he wants to speak to us, and we need to listen. And I think sometimes, I'm going to be bold to say this. I think sometimes as humans, we act out. So we don't think God's answering prayer. We don't think God's moving in our life, and we're not listening. So sometimes I think we act out in ways that we don't realize. We might Perhaps we might watch more TV. Perhaps we might just overeat. Perhaps we might start gossiping. Perhaps we'll just spill it out on Facebook. Perhaps I'll just tell people, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. When really, we're in the carnal. We're acting out. It doesn't mean you're not saved. Your salvation doesn't come and go with every whim and whimper. But I think that we got to be very careful because we have a testimony. And this testimony is something that we need to guard and we need to watch. And we need to watch our heart and guard our testimony. You don't just spat off. And if you do, then we need to apologize. We need to guard our testimony. Because we are living in a day and age which we have all kinds of ways of just acting out. No, Brother Richard, I don't know if that's acting out. Yeah, we act out. We want somebody to hear us. When we're down, we want somebody to hear us. So we act out. But how much better is if we say, God, just help me. Just help me. Because I think sometimes we lose encouragement from the Lord. We lose his instructions. And sometimes we even lose a sense of his presence. And that's what we want. And that's what we want here. We want his presence. There was a young boy in the Bible. This boy's name was Samuel. And he was being raised by the minister of the church. And his name was Eli. Eli didn't always obey the Lord because he had two sons and he let them run. And I'm not going to be talking about that this morning, but Eli knew what to do, but he just didn't have the heart to do it. And God, you know, will give you the tools you need to do whatever he asks you to do. And, you know, and it might not be a lot, at least it seems like, but every single thing that we do is important to God. Passing the elements is important to God. It doesn't matter what we do. If we're just praying, everything we do is important to God. But this little boy loved the Lord. The scripture says he loved the Lord. Hey, let's call you Samuel. How do you like that? We'll name you Samuel this morning. Samuel just loves the Lord. He's just a little boy being raised in the house of God. That's it. He was just being raised in the house of God. And one day Samuel went to bed. And he heard a voice. He didn't know what it was, but he heard, Samuel. He heard a still, small voice, Samuel. And he runs up, he gets up, and he says, yes, Eli, what do you want? Eli said, I didn't call you, Samuel. I don't know what you're thinking. Go back to bed. So Samuel goes back to bed, and he hears that still, small voice again, and says, Samuel. He gets up. The scripture says this happened three times. He went to Eli. Eli, what do you want? He said, Samuel. And a third time it dawned on Eli. He said, Samuel, I'll tell you what. He said, you're hearing a voice. And he said, I think it's God. He said, I'll tell you what. You go back to bed. And when you hear a voice again, if you hear that again, don't come running to me. You say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Samuel went back to bed and he heard Samuel. And he said, here I am, God, here I am. And God spoke to him, and told him some great revelations, spoke to him a message about Eli and the situations, and God began to speak to him. He spoke to him in such a way that Samuel knew that it was the Lord. But you know, it was a still, small voice, and God speaks to us in still, small voices, and he speaks to us in our spirit. There, recently, a couple of times, I've heard Jane say that she's heard about others in other parts of the world, that God has been coming to heathens, coming to other people in dreams and in visions and saying, wow. And they would go to somebody that knew the Lord and say, what is this? I've had a dream. I was kidding Dave last week because he said he was dreaming. And I said, yeah, I found you in the Old Testament, Joel. Joel said, old men shall dream dreams. But in the last day. But truly, it's true. It said, young men shall see visions, and Dave shall dream. I need to stick with the scriptures. That's what I need to do. But truly, God does, in Paul, the Apostle Paul, he also had dreams, and God would speak to him, say, go to Thessalonica, go here, or change his plans. But you know, God wants to speak to us no matter what method he chooses to do. He wants to speak to us, and we need to be willing to listen. When we begin to be willing to listen, we can begin to recognize, and I think that's the word that I'd like you to remember this morning, is we need to recognize that still small voice, recognize that conscience, because God begins to take us from earthly things to heavenly things and from glory to glory, and one of the ways he does that is through speaking to us, through our inner man. And once we begin to realize that he doesn't just speak to us for the good and the bad, but he speaks to us, he can begin to speak to us in our plans and what God wants for us, and whether in our decisions, and whether we should be, be doing in life. He is so concerned about us that he will meet you where you are, and he will speak to you if we're listening. There's one scripture, I'd like you to turn with me to Psalms 95. I would like us to read that. I will read it, but let's look at that together. It's very interesting to me. In Psalms 95, verse 7 and 8, it says, for he, this is the New King James Version, but it says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. We're his sheep. Today, if you will hear, how do we hear? He's not going to speak out of the heavens, most likely. He's going to talk to our inner spirit, our soulish realm. He's going to talk to us, and we need to hear. And when we don't listen, what happens is we begin to lose that sense and lose that consciousness, and we begin to not be sensitive. We're not sensitive to the spirit that's speaking to us. So sometimes we can miss it. God cares for you. He really does. And he's willing and able to speak to every single one of us. I want to tell you a little story of God coming to me in a dream. I have known something for 47 years, and I've never in my entire life have said it publicly. I just never felt to. And as I was talking this, God spoke to me that it's all right to say this. I always thought, I don't know. And you'll see why. I don't know about this. I don't know if I should do this. I just feel from the bottom of my heart that this moment I want to tell you something that I've taught, and I've been in church, and I've done a lot in throughout my life, but I've never, ever told this little story of God. But so I want to tell you a story. Before I go back in time, back in 2005, I lost my wife. She was my teenage sweetheart, and I loved her. And I lost her in 2005, and it was the hardest year of my life. When I think about it, I become emotional because I didn't ever think that I would face such a thing. I thought these things only happen to other people. I thought it was like reading a book. I thought these kind of things only happen to my neighbor or my mother or the one in the back pew or the one in the front pew. I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would come to the place where I have to care for my wife for 9 to 10 weeks and then see her pass. After she passed, I became a basket case. I didn't eat well. I didn't take care of myself. And I'm not a big man, but as you see me right now, I was 8 to 10 months, I was 20 pounds lighter than you see me right now. Try to envision me 20 pounds lighter. I didn't care if I lived or died. I didn't care. I'd read the word, and it meant nothing. God still cared, even when I didn't care. about myself. I went months. I'm so sorry. I want you to get this message if I have to storm through it with tears. I went for months. I resigned from everything. I didn't hardly go to church. I just felt like everything was gone. So I was a licensed minister, and I wrote in and to the organization that held my license. I said, I'm resigning. And they said, don't do that. Don't do that. So I rescinded my resignation only because they said, brother, we don't want you to do that. So for months, I felt like there was nothing. And God began to come to me in a still small voice. And he began to come to me. And the only way that God could come to me was in my subconscious in dreams. And I had a lot of dreams. Because that's how God was reaching me. So God began to give me these dreams. And I began to see things. And he would speak to me. And it almost felt audible. It was like visions and dreams. And that's how God cares about me. And that's how God cares about you. When I was at the lowest point of my life. Lowest point of my life. God still was trying to reach me. And if he couldn't reach me by reading, if he couldn't reach me in another way, he began to come to me in dreams. And one night, he came to me in a dream, and he said, excuse me, he said, he came to me, and it was so clear, I can just still see it now. But God came to me, and in his dream, he said, the photo that you had taken. And I'll explain to what this is. But he said, the photo that I had taken of you when you were 13 years old and given your life to me, I did that for a reason. I did that to let you know you are saved and you are called by me to preach the word, to lay hands on the sick, to live a life, to be a testimony. And what happened is, back when I got saved, I went to a Billy Graham crusade in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I didn't understand salvation. I didn't know anything about it. And I didn't have a clue. And some reason, the way that message came, and I can't remember the message now, but I remember it was like my eyes were opened. All of a sudden, it seemed like I was a 13-year-old boy. And this was somewhere in the summer of 1968. And oh my goodness, it's like God came to me and I gave my heart to the Lord. And how this ever happened, I don't know. Because Billy Graham has a magazine called Decision Magazine. And this magazine went around the world. It was in hundreds of thousands of homes and perhaps millions. He was a fantastic man, and I was one of his converts. I was saved under Billy Graham. And in this dream, God said, I put that photo there to let you know I care. And you're saved and you're called. That's how low I was. And it changed me, that dream. I began to get a hold of myself. But somehow, in God's providence, someone in all those tens of thousands of people, they took a picture of a boy that was giving his heart to Christ, and he put it on the cover page, the front cover page of the Decision Magazine. Now I told you this happened somewhere in the summer of 1968. In March of 1969, there was a boy on the cover of the Decision Magazine that went around the world, and that boy was me. God spoke to me that night and said, I want. I'm. I did that. I allowed that so you could, at my lowest point, you could hear my still small voice and know that you're mine. And I am saying to you this morning, I've never told that story because I don't want anything from it. I'm just trying to say that at your lowest point, God will speak to you and can speak to you if you're listening and if you're willing. And I rose up and I said, God, you help me. And about 8 months later, I just shook myself and said, I have to move forward. I have to move forward. And God began to strengthen me physically, emotionally, and in every other way. It took some time. And I'll never get fully over it. But God speaks to us, and he speaks to you. And he's not willing that you go. He's not willing that any should perish. He speaks to you. Be willing to listen. In that still small voice, God will meet you and God will answer your prayer. God will touch you and move in your life if we're but willing to listen to that still small voice. In 1 Kings we read, sometimes it's not the earthquake, sometimes it's not the fire, sometimes it's not the wind, but it is a still small voice. In Psalms 91:1, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, covering you with his wings, covering you with his feathers. And if he needs to, he says he will give his angels charge over you. He will do whatever he needs to do to keep you saved and keep you in the house of God and keep you walking in the footsteps of the Lord. They tell me that a chick, and we were with our grandkids recently, went out to that place called Rural King on the other side of the mall. I forget it's there, Rural King. But it's a neat store. But they had all these chicks and ducks and everything. They say that a mother hen will do that. If there's danger, and even up to where some chicks have given up their life in a fire, they will cover their chicks with their wings. And the scripture says, he will cover you with his feathers. He will cover you with his wings. He will. Does God have feathers? No. He's trying to help us to understand. He's trying to help us to realize that he is there. And he will minister to us in a special way. And we will be under his shadow. We will be safe under the shadow. You know, when the sun is scorching, the sun is shining, and it's hot. If you get in the shadow, whew, it's a little bit easier. You get under the trees and there's some shade there and some nice things. And God says he will cover you with his wings. He will keep you. You'll be under the shadow of the Almighty. And, you know, I have experienced God's goodness, and you have experienced God's goodness, his mercy, and his comfort. And it's all because we listen to the still small voice. I want all of us to realize God wants us to move forward, and he wants us to begin to be more sensitive to what he's speaking to us. It may not be audible, but he will speak, and he'll speak through our conscience, and he'll speak through our spirit. I hope I've convinced you this morning that God is so concerned about each and every one of us. No matter where you are, he is concerned about you, and he wants you to be his now and forever. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we just thank you. I'd like Gene to come to the piano, please. Father, we just thank you this morning for your wonderful words of God that reaches to us and reaches to our spirit and touches us in ways that without it we could not be touched. We thank you, Lord, that you've created us in such a way that you can speak to us through our conscience and through our inner man. We just praise you, Lord, that you have so loved us. You not only gave your son for us, but you revel in showing compassion. You revel in showing mercy to us. You said, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And we thank you, Lord, that no matter what happens to us in life, you are concerned and you are willing to meet us and to just touch us in a special way. We just ask you to touch each of our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name. We just praise you, Lord. We just want to take a moment and thank you. We just want to thank you. We thank you. You speak to us in a small voice or in dreams or in ways or through other methods and through your word and through preachers and teachers. We thank you, Lord. You have so many ways, but you definitely want us to listen. And we pray that we'll all have that willingness to open up to you and open up to the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.